This is the Ask Chef Jacob Podcast, episode 24. And here we go with another episode of Ask Chef Jacob, found online at askchefjacob.com, part of the stellaculinary.com. Content network, and by network I mean the one-man show of me, Jacob Burton, here to answer your questions and drop some cooking knowledge. Hey, like we mentioned in last episode, my F-Step curriculum is now available for download. The written F-Step curriculum is now available for download. I explained it a lot in the last episode, so I'm not going to bore you with the details. Just head on over to stellaculinary.com, click on the shop link at the top of the page. You can check it out. And you can download the first section of my book, the Culinary Bootcamp Workbook and F-Step Curriculum, for free just by signing up for our email newsletter. So with that said, in today's episode, I have another sourdough bread baking question, but this one's a little bit different. And this one comes from Paul. Anytime now.
Hello, Chef Jacob. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
I'm just wondering as to whether you have any suggestions for any sweets or desserts which I can make with my sourdough starter. Do I need to follow the same rules as I do when making the sourdough bread? For example, do I need to run a float test prior to making a sweet? Thank you very much.
Well, Paul, thank you for the question. That's a great question. And yes, absolutely, you can bake sweets or make various different pastries and sweets with a sourdough starter. Because again, sourdough is just a natural yeast. Now, you will have some limitations, and we'll talk about that in a second. But just to catch everybody up to speed, I mean, if this is like your first episode of Ask Chef Jacob, and maybe you're not into sourdough bread baking, we have a massive resource over on the Stella Culinary website. So head on over to stellaculinary.com/SB, and SB will drop you into our bread index. But then at the top of that bread index, you'll see a little thing that says prerequisites, and it'll link to the Stella Culinary School podcast episodes 18 through 22, that are really required listening if you want to get into bread baking. Episode 18 starts you off with the very basics. By episode 22, we have you up to speed with baking with your own sourdough starter. And what Paul was talking about with it passing the float test is when you feed your sourdough starter, the natural yeast and bacteria within that starter will go through and eat the starches and sugars in the flour, producing CO2 and alcohol as a byproduct. Now, when your starter gets to a point where it's active enough to leaven a loaf of bread or any other recipe that you're creating, then there'll be enough CO2 in that starter where if you take a little portion of that starter and drop it into room temperature water, it will float. So that's what we call the float test. And when you see your starter float, you know that it's now active enough to leaven a loaf of bread or anything else that you're making. Now, in this episode's show notes, which you can find at stellaculinary.com/ACJ24, I'm going to link to all of our sourdough information, but also I'm going to be linking to a conversion video that I did on my whiteboard in my home office. And this is an important video for people who want to really take the reins of sourdough bread baking, because it shows you how to take any basic recipe that calls for commercial or industrial yeast, or baker's yeast, right? Any bread recipe that calls for yeast that isn't using sourdough, and how to convert it to 100% sourdough. So you can literally take any bread recipe that would use yeast and then convert it to your sourdough starter. And when you do that, you're adding complexity of flavor and just a better overall natural product. Now, the limitation of using a sourdough starter when baking with sweets is, just like commercial yeast, there is a sugar threshold. Too much sugar will make the sourdough unhappy. However, it's very rare that you need a lot of sugar in a given bread recipe, even if you want it to be sweet, because a lot of times the sweetness will come from the toppings or the fillings. And we're talking about a threshold of sugar above 10%, right? If you start getting above 10%, you're going to need a specific type of commercial yeast that is manufactured for use in sweet pastries and doughs. But you can do a lot with your sourdough starter. Now, my favorite thing to do with a sourdough starter on the sweet side is sourdough waffles. And what you do is you'll feed your sourdough starter the night before, mix it up, and as a byproduct, sourdough starter will produce acetic acid and lactic acid as well. And this is what gives your bread a sour flavor. Now, when you add a base to this, something that's alkaline like baking soda, it's going to froth immediately and make the batter airy. So if you want the most airy, delicious, complex waffles you've ever made in your life, you can do that with just using a sourdough starter. Now, I do have an old sourdough waffle recipe in the forums that one of my Stella Culinary community members dug up from the Free Culinary School days, so way back in the day. And it's a good recipe, but I always change my recipe as I go along. So it'll be a good starting point, but I never measure my recipe when I'm making sourdough waffles. I always do it by feel. So if I were to kind of just throw something out here for you to test, you know, you're going to want about a 120% hydration in your finished product. So you're making a batter here is what you're basically doing, right? So 120% hydration, maybe even a little bit more. And you're going to make your base starter the day before. So in this case, let's just say we're going to do 1,000 grams flour. So 120% is we're looking for 1,200 grams of liquid. Now, you don't want to use just water because water is not going to bring a whole lot of flavor to the party. And for this as well, I like a little bit of whole wheat in my sourdough waffles. Not a lot, okay? I'm not trying to make them all like crunchy hippie style, but I want that whole wheat there for a complexity of flavor, and it also will help develop more acetic acid when we do a delayed fermentation overnight. Okay, so of that 1,000 grams of flour that we're going to be using in this recipe, and we'll make this, you can use bread flour, but AP flour is probably going to be better for this because it has less gluten. You don't want a whole lot of gluten development in your waffles. So, and I'm just kind of writing this down as I give it out to you. We can test this recipe later on, but it'll get you in the ballpark, right? And I'm going to kind of talk about the science a little bit more behind this in a second. So, of that 1,000 grams of all-purpose flour, you're going to want about 50 to 100 grams to be whole wheat. And that whole wheat is going to give you that complexity of flavor. More acetic acid production, which will be important, and it's not going to be enough to really make the waffle tough or super dense like a lot of whole wheat products are. And instead of using water for this, you're going to want to use milk. And you can use whole milk, skim milk, but really for this sort of stuff, I go skim milk. And what you want to do is just mix this together overnight. And you want about 30% or so, maybe less, depending on how active your starter is. You want 30% of the flour in your waffle batter to come from your sourdough starter. Now, don't worry about writing all this stuff down. I'm going to write it up in the show notes for this episode. Again, you can find those at stellaculinary.com/ACJ24. So mix this together the night before. So again, if we're taking 30% of our flour from our starter and our standard pool of starter is 100% hydration, then we know that we have 300 grams of flour and 300 grams of water coming from our starter. And I go more in depth into this in our conversion video, which I'll link in the show notes. So now our recipe is going to be 600 grams starter, 900 grams of milk, and 700 grams, or let's go 600 grams of AP flour, and 100 grams of whole wheat. And you're going to mix this all overnight. Or you're going to mix it the night before and let it ferment overnight. The next day, it's going to be really active and bubbly, and it's going to have a sour smell to it, which is exactly what you want. Because that's the acidic acid production that you're looking for. And not only is that going to add complexity of flavor to your waffles, but it's also going to add that airiness. It's going to give you that beautiful leavening pop. Okay. Now, from here, you want to shorten the gluten strands. All right, because you don't want a tough, bready waffle. I was actually out for brunch the other day with my mom and wife and daughter. And this place was known for their chicken and waffles. And I got their waffle, and I was extremely disappointed. I wanted to go back in the kitchen and just hand them a waffle recipe with directions. And I mean, and not to be insulting and be like, oh, you suck, I'm great. It's not that, but there is definitely some technical flaws in their waffle. Number one, the biggest technical flaw was the batter was overmixed, so they formed gluten. Number two, there wasn't enough fat in their batter. And number three, the waffle just really didn't have any flavor at all. It wasn't that good. They didn't develop flavor through the addition of yeast or any other ingredients, okay? So what you want to do is you want to make that waffle tender by adding in melted butter. And for this recipe, you're going to go 15 to 20%, so high on the melted butter. This could be oil, but oil doesn't bring a whole lot of flavor to the party, right? So working on the baker's percentage, 20% of 1,000 grams, because that's our base flour, right? 20% of 1,000 grams is going to be 200 grams of melted butter. And you want to stir this in to your starter with two eggs. And the two eggs are going to bring protein and structure to that waffle. And a little secret ingredient that you can add right now is also malted milk. Like what they use in milkshakes. So about 100 to 200 grams of that. And also about 100 grams to 200 grams of sugar. Now we'll keep the sugar at 100 grams because we don't really want to go over that 10% mark. But at this point, it doesn't matter, right? Because the sugar only affects the yeast activity. So the yeast activity is already done for this waffle recipe. So you can actually sweeten it up right now, but it's not necessary. If you add too much sugar, it's going to take away from the depth of flavor of your waffle. And you can always make the waffle sweeter by the toppings you put on top. So let's limit our sugar to 100 grams and then optional malt powder at 100 to 200 grams. So 10 to 20% malt powder. And that's malted milk powder. Don't get that mixed up with your diastatic malt powder, which is different. It's a yeast food. So you want to use malted milk for this. And then a dash of vanilla. And that vanilla is just going to give it that waffly flavor. All right. So now you have your basic waffle batter. Now, if you look at this batter and you're like, it looks a little bit too thick. Well, that's easy. Just pour in some more milk. If you look at it and it looks a little bit too thin, just do the reverse with some flour. Just stir in some flour and it'll be fine. So you can see why I don't really have a set recipe for this, because understanding the baker's percentage and how, you know, fat, sugar, and all that stuff is going to affect your finished bread product, you can pretty much just write this out of memory. Now also too, we want about 1% to 2% salt in this. Let's call it 2% because our hydration rate is kind of high. So 2% is 20 grams of salt. And you're going to stir in all of this stuff to your pre-fermented batter. So you have, again, the milk, flour, and starter were all mixed together the night before. Then the morning of, you're going to pour in your melted butter, vanilla extract, malt powder, sugar, salt, eggs. Then right before, about 15 to 20 minutes before you're ready to make the waffles, and obviously make sure your waffle iron is on, and you want to use a nice deep Belgian waffle maker for this, you want to add baking soda. And the baking soda is your alkaline base, and you're probably going to want about 1% baking soda. So for that, that'd be 10 grams. Yeah, 10 grams sounds about right. You can always add a little more, maybe up to 15 grams total. So let's call it 1 to 1.5% baking soda. And when you add that in, what's going to happen is the alkaline base of the baking soda is going to react with the acid that has been produced by the sourdough starter. And it's going to cause bubbles. So think back to the science fair projects you saw when you were a kid, where you make the clay volcanoes, and then you drop a bunch of baking powder into the volcano, and then you pour in lemon juice or white vinegar or acidulated water, and it starts frothing and foaming and boiling over, right? Well, that's because you have that reaction of the base with the acidity. So the same thing's happening here. So this is going to, you're going to actually see the batter of your waffle batter. You're going to see it expand. It's going to start to fill up with air. And then when you actually take this waffle batter and place into your waffle iron, the yeast is also going to hyperactivate, just like when you bake bread. So you have that oven spring from the yeast. As the yeast gets more and more heat, or as it's heated, it approaches its thermal death curve up to 130 degrees Fahrenheit, where the yeast starts to die off. But below that, every time you double the temperature of the yeast, 17 degrees Fahrenheit, every time you raise the temperature of the yeast 17 degrees Fahrenheit, their activity level doubles. So when you place this batter that's already aerated by the acid-alkaline reaction into a hot waffle iron, and then the yeast hyperactivates, it starts producing a whole lot of CO2 gas, which then fills up your waffle and makes it even more fluffy, airy, and delicious. All right, so that's a sourdough waffle. Now, the reason why I went so in-depth into that is so you could kind of hear how I work out a batter recipe just in my head, and just write it down on paper. And this is going to be just a basic test recipe. And again, you can just adjust it as needed. You can thin it out, you can thicken it up, add a little bit more vanilla, whatever blows your apron up. But this exact same concept will work with baking cakes. So you could actually make a sourdough cake by using this exact same formulation, where you add a sourdough starter to your cake batter, let it ferment for a while, and then you add in some baking soda right at the end, right before you pour that cake into a sourdough. You pour that cake with the sourdough batter into a tin, and you have that reaction of the baking soda with the acidity produced by the sourdough starter. You have that filling that cake batter with gas while it's baking. So it's going to give you a really beautiful, light, airy texture. And I don't have a recipe offhand, but the King Arthur Flour website does have a chocolate cake recipe that I haven't tried, but I'm going to link to this in the show notes just because looking at it, well, my one problem with it is it's all in volume. It's not by the gram, so it's hard to work out percentages, so I'm not a fan of that. But it will give you just a recipe to look at, so you can kind of see the methodology of if you're using sourdough starter to bake a cake. But again, let's just look at the technique of this for a second. The technique is you are generating acidic acid production by feeding your sourdough starter. So the starter is producing acidic acid as a byproduct, because it eats the flour that you're feeding it. And then you are reacting that acidic acid and lactic acid with an alkaline base, baking soda, which is aerating your batter. So anytime you want to make any sort of aerated batter, whether you're making it for English muffins, or you're making it for cakes, or you're making it for waffles, or for pancakes, you can use this technique. And if you go back and you listen to our bread baking series, then you can start pinpointing where you would adjust the recipe to fit your needs, right? So you understand now that that reaction between the acid and the base will create this really nice airy batter that you can use for pancakes, waffles, regular cakes. You can even use it for like tempura batter. You can use all these concepts for tempura batter. And then you adjust various ingredients. So fat will shorten gluten strands. If your pancake or your waffle is too tough, it's too chewy, you want to add more fat to it. Eggs will add structure. Right, so if your cake or your waffle isn't setting up properly, then you might want to go back and add some eggs. The water will help to hydrate gluten and give you more gluten structure. So for whatever reason, if your waffle is a little bit too tender and too airy and falling apart too much, then you can go back and pull out some of the fat and add more water, right? You can also mix it more because mixing will create gluten development. So what I'm trying to get across here is the combination of, you know, using your sourdough starter to produce gas in a batter is really a whole lot of fun and very versatile, especially once you start pairing that with your understanding of other bread baking and dough concepts that we talked about in our bread series. Now, you can also just convert almost any yeasted recipe to sourdough, like I discussed before. So a good one for this is our brioche buns, and I'll link to our brioche bun recipe in the show notes. But you can, instead of using the yeast, you can use our conversion formula and convert those brioche buns. And instead of turning them into buns, you can form donuts with them and fry them and then put a coating on top. So now you have a sweet sourdough donut. You can also take the sourdough brioche dough, you can roll it out, and in the middle, you spread cinnamon and sugar that have been mixed together. So just in a KitchenAid with a paddle attachment, just beat together some cinnamon, sugar, and butter and spread that on the inside of your of this dough that you rolled out. Now you roll it up, cut it into rounds, place it in a tray, let it proof together, bake it off. Now you have cinnamon rolls. Now you take these cinnamon rolls and you just glaze them with your favorite glaze. For me, I like to just use some powdered sugar, lemon juice, and water to make my glaze. You pour those over the top, and you can even top with toasted nuts. And again, this is going to be a really sweet product, but notice our process, right? We didn't have a whole lot of sugar in the actual dough itself, which would affect the sourdough's activity level. It would affect the lactic acid bacteria activity. It would affect the natural yeast activity. So instead, there is a little bit of sugar in the brioche recipe, but not enough to really affect the activity of the sourdough starter. But then we're getting that extra sweetness by spreading that cinnamon and sugar and butter mixture on the inside of the dough and then slicing it up, baking those off after they proof, and getting even more sweetness as we glaze the top. The same is done with the donuts. And what I love about doing the sourdough donuts with the brioche recipe, and we have a video on how to just take our regular yeasted brioche dough and turn that into some amazing deep fried donuts. And they're just so airy and puffy and chewy and delicious. They're so good. And you can make those just by using our conversion formula. So you can swap out the commercial yeast with your sourdough starter using our conversion formula video. But what I like about that is you have contrast, right? So for me personally, I don't like a donut to be overly sweet. I like the toppings to be sweet. So, and when you have that little tiny bit of sourness from the sourdough starter, it brings a complexity to that donut that people are going to have a hard time putting their finger on, right? So you leaven your donut with a sourdough starter, and then you fry it fresh. You glaze it with a beautiful sweet glaze, whether it be chocolate, a cinnamon sugar dusting, or a maple glaze. And I have recipes for all of this on stellacorner.com. You're going to have a really, really cool end product. All right, so to recap, play around with batters. So waffle batter, pancake batter, and regular cake batter for your sweets with your sourdough. Then also play around with some cinnamon rolls using our brioche bun recipe or our brioche dough as a base, and also play around with brioche donuts. All right. And I think that should be a good start, but really there's just, it's almost limitless to what you can do. So I hope this at least kind of got your juices flowing. You know, you start to think creatively about how you can use your sourdough starter in sweet applications for pastries. But if you have something specific in mind, please let me know. I'd love to have a follow-up question for a future episode, or you can just post it over on the Stella Culinary forums. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with. And that's it for this episode of Ask Chef Jacob. This episode's show notes with all the information that I mentioned can be found online at stellaculinary.com/ACJ24. F-Step Curriculum is now available for purchase and automatic download over on stellaculinary.com. So just go to stellaculinary.com/shop and you'll find a link right there. You can also download the first section, F is for Flavor, for absolutely free. So you can kind of check out the book and kind of see if it's what you're looking for, which it is. Come on, you know it is. It's for you. If you're listening to this, you're going to love it. All right, I'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening.